The new two-part documentary, Trump's Front Row Joes, is the first inside look at Trump's diehard fans.
The Front Row Joes are incredible people.
Camping out for days to be in the front row at every Trump rally to support their hero.
The kind of basis for all the rallies, there's like dead fans.
Trump's Front Row Joes, from executive producer Sean Spicer.
You had to love Mr. Donald Trump.
Trump's Front Row Joes. Watch it now. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Wow. We have got a lot going on today. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us today. Brand new polling data out, 67% of Americans say Biden should bow out of the presidential race. Not going to happen, at least not right now. There's been a big change in the press conference. That press conference tonight now moved to 6:30 Eastern time. That's 6:30 Eastern time, President Biden doing his big boy press conference. So putting on the big boy pants, going to be taking the big boy questions, and all of that's happening at about 6:30 tonight. Meanwhile, all sorts of news leaking out, and longtime listeners of this radio show, you're not going to be surprised by any of this. It turns out now that George Clooney ran his New York Times op-ed by Barack Hussein Obama, and Obama actually signed off on the publication of this this op-ed calling for Biden to bow out of the race. Apparently, there's a lot of bad blood behind the scenes now between Biden and Obama, specifically the Mrs. And Mrs. First Lady Dr. Jill Biden is very, very angry at the Democrats for throwing her husband under the bus. Now, keep in mind, a lot of moving parts here, and there are all sorts of shenanigans going down. And it reminded me of something that happened during the Democrat primary back in 2016, when Mrs. Bill Clinton, whose only true claim to fame was actually being married to a president. So, you know, she was the one picking out the curtains and the china. And now all of a sudden that made her qualified to run for the White House. Anyway, Mrs. Bill Clinton was going up against Bernie Sanders. Remember that? Remember that it was a crazy, ugly Democrat primary. Bernie Sanders was gaining ground, and now we know that the Democrat establishment actually stepped in. Donna Brazile, who was then at CNN, fed Hillary Clinton the debate questions. There were efforts to undermine Bernie Sanders every step of the way. It was, and hear me on this. The election was actually stolen. That nomination was actually stolen from Bernie Sanders by the behavior of the Democrat establishment. So that same core group, and some of them have died off. Hillary's a part of that group now. Barack Hussein is a part of that group now. Barry, if you will. They're all part of it. Susan Rice, the whole cabal there, or cabal, they're in cahoots. And they are now in the process of destroying Joe Biden. Joe refused to go peacefully, and now they will destroy Joe. That's how all of this is going to play out. It is going to be, look, if you're a conservative or Republican, or if you're a law-abiding citizen, this is all very delicious. But I'm telling you, it is going to be ugly, because Biden is not going quietly now. You will see over the next couple of days more and more and more Democrats openly calling for Biden to step down, not to run. You're going to see all of this play out, and it has to play out in public now because the private overtures fell on deaf ears. No, that's not literally deaf ears, Dylan. It's just metaphorically. I mean, he may have been hard of hearing. I don't know, but he's got a lot of other big problems. So while all that's going on, I want to bring your attention to something that just happened up on Capitol Hill. And you can't, God love them. These Republicans, Folks, I don't know what to say. They voted today, just moments ago, to hold Merrick Garland in inherent contempt of Congress. Now, the plan was to, and guys, if we can get the live show blog up and running, please. The plan was to hold him in contempt and fine him $10,000 a day. All right, that was the plan, $10,000 a day. The original plan was to send Merrick Garland to jail. In other words, with inherent contempt of Congress, the House would actually have the ability to direct the Sergeant of Arms to hunt down Merrick Garland and put him in jail. I was a fan of both of these, but if I had to choose, I wanted to see the guy in jail, which is where he belongs. Now, at this very moment, as you and I are chatting here, you've got Steve Bannon and you've got Peter Navarro, and they are in prison. They are serving jail time at this very moment for the exact same thing that Merrick Garland is guilty of. So I want you to hear me on this. This really should transcend politics. That's what should be happening. This should transcend political party. This should be about the country. And I want to explain why. So the big hullabaloo over Merrick Garland is an audio tape of President Biden's deposition in the classified documents case. All right. So everybody has agreed. The special counsel, Robert Hur, everybody agreed that Joe Biden broke the law. Joe Biden broke federal law, was guilty of harboring these classified documents. You say, well, wait a second. If that's a crime, then what about President Trump? Well, President Trump, as president of the United States, had the power to declassify those documents. Joe Biden did not. Joe Biden was just vice president. All right. So all of this happened when Joe Biden was leaving the White House. They were packing up, and we've covered it all. You've seen the videos of the documents in the in the garage next to the Corvette. We've all seen them. So anyway, Robert Hur did a sit down interview with Joe Biden, and it was very clear, as according to the special counsel, that Joe Biden broke the law. But he did not recommend that Biden face any sort of charges. And the reason why is because of Biden's conduct during the interview. And Robert Hur said that Biden would come across as a very sympathetic character because he was an old, feeble, forgetful man. I mean, it was a brutal condemnation of Joe Biden and his cognitive skills. So anyway, the attorney general made the decision not to release that audio tape. And that's really what the fight is about. Congress wants that audio tape. Merrick Garland says, no, you're not going to be able to listen to it. And the reason why is because it is incredibly damning. Now, I want you to understand something here. When you listen to the tape, and here's what I suspect we will find. When you listen to the tape, you will understand there's no way this man is running the country. There's no way this man is capable of running the country. And that's why Merrick Garland doesn't want anybody to hear it. But based on what's happening right now in the Democrat Party, you would think that Democrats, even more so than Republicans right now, would want that tape to come out because it would make their job a whole heck of a lot easier. But they're not going to do that. So just a little few moments ago, the House rejected the resolution to hold Merrick Garland in contempt. Four Republicans joined Democrats to take down the measure. 12 House Republicans were not there, and we don't know why. There's probably some good reason why. Some people may be back home in the district. Others may have decided to stay home to try to sink it. But that's the reality of where we are right now. Now, the truth is, going all the way back to 2020, ladies and gentlemen, and according to Chuck Todd, they've all known, even going back to 2020, that Biden was not all there. So it is safe to say that for the entire term in office, Joe Biden has not been there. He's been incapacitated. And we need to figure out who is actually running the country. That's what we need to figure out here. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Now look, we had the list of the four Republicans who voted with Democrats. Tom McClintock of California. You've got John Duarte of California. You also have David Joyce of Ohio and Mike Turner of Ohio. We have posted their phone numbers on the live show blog, and I would encourage you to give them a call and let their offices know exactly how you feel about this. These are nothing more than backstabbing rhinos. And they clearly pledged their allegiance on bended knee to the deep state today. That's what just happened up on Capitol Hill. But I'm telling you, folks, it is harder and harder and harder to support this party when garbage like this happens. I go back to a couple of days ago in Milwaukee where evangelical Christians were told to shut the hell up and do as they were told. You watch the party platform, which has had a strong pro-life message since the days of Ronald Reagan, no more. You have a Republican Party platform that no longer supports traditional marriage. Basically, you have milquetoast for a Republican Party platform when it comes to the culture war issues. And now you have this, and you just step back and you ask yourself, what is the point of all of that? What is the point of having a Republican Party if you can't even hold Merrick Garland in contempt of Congress? All right, we've got to take a quick break here. We're opening up the phone lines, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. You might have heard Mike Lindell of MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of the cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly to you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel sets, $25. Brand-new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. And for the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping, too. This amazing offer won't last long, so go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 today. That's promo code STARNS. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Here's Marjorie Taylor Greene just a little while ago. Cut number 30, please.
Gentlewoman's recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Since Merrick Garland took over as Attorney General in March of 2021, he has completely subverted and weaponized the Department of Justice. This weaponization of the DOJ has resulted in the persecution of the left's political enemies and a two-tiered justice system. From investigating parents who protest their school boards, to going after pro-life activists and Catholics, to persecuting former President Donald J. Trump, Merrick Garland's corruption knows no bounds. The DOJ's persecution of Joe Biden's primary political adversary, President Donald J. Trump, is illegal and an actual assault on democracy. Raiding President Trump's home for legally declassifying documents in a transparent violation of justice. Persecuting a declared candidate for President of the United States is nothing short of election interference. In the meantime, Merrick Garland has refused to comply with a lawful congressional subpoena, claiming executive privilege, the same defense argued by Steve Bannon and Peter Navarro.
Gentlewoman's time has expired.
30 seconds.
The gentlewoman's recognized.
Thank you. For Merrick Garland and Joe Biden, it's rules for thee, but not for me. I urge my Republican conference to support this resolution, reclaim our congressional authority, and hold Merrick Garland in account for his hypocritical and illegal actions that spit in the faces of all Americans' right to a fair justice system. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I yield back.
All right. Well, good for you, MTG. And she's absolutely right here. I mean, this is just insane, everybody. Just absolutely insane. But this is where we are right now, and the Republicans just simply do not have the courage to do the right thing here. And it bothers me because all of this reflects, it's going to dampen enthusiasm. That is the concern, and we cannot risk a single Republican staying home on Election Day. We just can't do it. We have to literally overwhelm every polling place in America with Republicans, with numbers so high. And what is it that President Trump says? It's got to be too big to rig. That's what we have to do. It's got to be too big to rig. And this kind of nonsense does not help. But I'm telling you right now, folks, we have the most worthless majority in the history of the Congress. I've never seen anything like this before. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. All right, so I have a question for you. President Trump looking at VPs, and there's been a lot of talk about J.D. Vance, Marco Rubio. By the way, Governor of Virginia, Glenn Youngkin, now back in the mix, and he's playing hardball with the illegals in Virginia. And I love this. So he's being mentioned as a possible VP. But anyway, J.D. Vance has a beard. And President Trump has a little bit of an issue with facial hair. All right. It's it's one of those things. He was on Fox and he was asked whether or not that would be an issue. Cut number six.
The word is that you won't pick J.D. Vance because of his facial hair. Is that true?
That no.
Facial hair.
I've never heard that one.
Number two,
no.
Doug Burgum, the thing
he
that hurts.
Like a young Abraham Lincoln.
Right. He's a handsome man. Doug Burgum,
nice guy.
On abortion in North Dakota, he signed something legislation handed him. Does that hurt him?
Well, it's a little bit of an issue. It's a pretty strong ban. You know, I think Doug is great, but it is a strong, he's taken a very strong stance, or the state has. I don't know if it's Doug, but the state has.
Yeah.
It's an issue.
And lastly, Marco Rubio.
Everything's an issue.
Marco Rubio and being from Florida, would that stop you from picking him?
No, but it does make it more complicated. You know, you do that, and it makes it more complicated. There are people that don't have that complication.
All right, there you go. Trump says, it makes him look like Abe Lincoln, J.D. Vance. I thought it was interesting what he said about Burgum. Trump has been very transactional on the abortion issue, and in Trump's mind, it's over. And he doesn't want a full and complete total birth moms go to jail ban on abortion. That is just not going to happen with Donald Trump in the White House. And that was an interesting take on Doug Burgum. But again, do you think any of those people are actually going to be the VP? A lot of folks thinking that Trump's going to pick a woman, a female. It's not going to be Kristi Noem. But, and I don't think it's the dog thing either. I mean, look, you've got RFK Jr. who ate dogs. And then you've got Dr. Fauci, who killed puppies. So I don't think that's necessarily a deal breaker, but we'll have to wait and see. I don't think it's going to be Kristi Noem. I will say this: Sarah Huckabee Sanders would be a fine VP pick. I'm telling you, I think she would do a terrific job. All right, we got to take a quick break. We have so much to get through, everybody, including the very latest as Democrats conspire to take down Joe Biden. Meanwhile, Trump's just having the time of his life. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
you know that oil, coal, and natural gas are not the climate villains that the legacy media asks us to believe that they are? Did you know that 8 billion people will eat just today because fossil fuels ran the sophisticated machinery that produced all the food necessary to do so? Or how they power the complex heating and cooling systems to keep people alive through extreme temperatures? What would you do without AC or heat? Fossil fuels have literally been the hero in the prevention of billions of deaths and the extension of life. I'm Kevin McCullough, and I want you to know the facts. Please go to oilfacts.com and get educated today on these critical facts, the need for American energy, and what we can do to keep billions more catastrophic deaths from happening. These facts are irrefutable. Oilfacts.com. That's oilfacts.com. These facts are brought to you by Prairie Operating Group, dedicated to safe and responsible production of American energy.
Out the cabinet secretary.
Right.
But I had a cabinet secretary 2 years ago.
Right.
Okay. 2 years ago. All out of the blue, ask me. Do you really think he's going to, he can't run again like this? And I said, well, you have more interaction with him than I do. And they said, I don't have a lot of interaction with him. This is a pretty senior cabinet secretary. So, and this was 2 years ago.
All right. So for 2 years, that voice you heard, Chuck Todd on MSDNC, Chuck Todd kept all of that quiet. He didn't spill the beans. He towed the party line. So these people have known all along. And ladies and gentlemen, again, I contend this is the greatest political scandal in the history of the Republic. We have had an incapacitated commander-in-chief for his entire term in office. So new information to share with you. This is coming from the New York Slimes. And man, when the media turns on you, they turn on you. And they're having a field day with Joe Biden. So the headline now is that the Biden campaign, this is dirty. So the Biden campaign now quietly testing the strength of Kamala Harris against President Trump. So they are doing surveys with voters to determine whether or not Kamala Harris has a shot of beating Trump, and she doesn't. I mean, when you look at this, there's already been some polling done. And Kamala Harris does not do well. Could you imagine Kamala Harris going mano a womano against Donald Trump? I don't see that happening. She'd be cackling all over the place. So anyway, this is all super secret. They've talked to three people, and they had to swear you cannot reveal our names. And they're dishing the dirt to the New York Times. So tonight, this is going to be huge. We will be live blogging this over on the website, 6:30 Eastern, when President Biden holds that press conference, that solo press conference. And by the way, this is the first time he's done it since November. So you know he's going to be hopped up on something tonight. You just know it. What's the over-under that his eyelids do not blink? I'm just asking. So anyway, you've got... So now Jen Psaki, circling back to her for a moment, she's one of the rats who she owes her political career to Joe Biden. She's got a gig on MSDNC. And Jen Psaki is out there saying, well, you know what? Kamala Harris is really good. And the problem is all of you people out there, because you people are sexist and you people are racist. Cut 26.
Kamala Harris, the vice president, I'm going to call her vice president now because I keep calling her. She is like, in my view, an undervalued talent. She's a very fierce communicator. She's very strong, especially on one of the core issues that made the election maybe won or lost on, which is abortion rights. You know, and this is why I think when she did a couple of interviews after the debate, I was sitting on the set with a bunch of other MSNBC anchors, and we were like, everybody was like, that was great. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what she's doing out in the country, and nobody is really tracking it. It's just, that's who she is. But there is a character out there. There is it's almost like public opinion hasn't caught up with what she is doing out there. And also, we live in a country that is sexist and racist. So, like, there is that. Not everybody at all, but there is a level of it that does impact elections.
Poor hubby. Poor hubby. Not-
He knows how to sell right there, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
she's still got a sense of humor.
Imagine what can be and be unburdened by what has been, you know? What can be unburdened by what has been? 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 What we can see, what we believe can be unburdened by what has been. What can be unburdened by what has been? 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 Who we can be unburdened by who we have been? What can be unburdened by what has been? Where we can be unburdened by where we have been and unburdened by where we are right now. What can be unburdened by what has been? What can be unburdened by what has been? What can be unburdened by what has been? What could be unburdened by what had been? What can be unburdened by what has 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 been? Unburdened by what has been, believing in what can be. What can be unburdened by what has been? What can be unburdened by what has been?
I've just been unburdened. Got a little misty there. My apologies, ladies and gentlemen. You expect better of your host than I should have full control of my emotional faculties, and I just got a little caught up in the moment of what could have been. Anyway, there you go. That's Kamala Harris. Can you imagine all of that cackling and the what could have been and getting unburdened and more cackling, throwing a couple of Venn diagrams? And let me tell you something. Trump is going to win in a landslide. A landslide. But I am very curious about something, and I need your help to understand this. And I'm being fully, in all seriousness, I do have a question. Now, we went back into the annals, not the annals, the annals of history. And we went back to the year of our Lord, 2016. When Kamala became the very first U.S. senator from California of Indian American descent. As a matter of fact, those were the headlines. This was the Associated Press headline. Are you ready for this? The Associated Press. So this headline was in every major newspaper across America. California's Kamala Harris becomes first Indian American U.S. senator. So then I want to fast forward to the year of our Lord, 2020, when the Associated Press ran this headline. Kamala Harris becomes first black running mate. So how did that happen? How did Kamala Harris go from being an Indian American senator to being an African American vice president? How did that happen? Anybody want to explain that? Again, I'm going to read the Associated Press headline. This is 2016, Associated Press. California's Kamala Harris becomes first Indian-American U.S. senator. And then in 2020, Biden picks Kamala Harris as running mate, first black woman. I want to know, when did she start identifying? Now, for Joe Biden, it was just a couple of weeks ago. So now you have an all-black ticket. I mean, theoretically, at least in their minds. So Biden and the first black female presidential team, right? You've got Joe Biden, the first black female president, and then you've got Kamala Harris, who is the first black vice presidential chick. But I'm curious, who makes that decision over at the AP? Who gets to decide that issue? 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
They're Trump's most diehard fans in the front row at every Trump rally.
You had to love the United States of America. You had to support Mr. Donald Trump's re-election.
Trump's Front Row Joes is the new two-part documentary offering the first inside look at the men and women standing shoulder to shoulder with Trump in the greatest political movement in American history.
The kind of basis for all the rallies. There's like dead fans.
Like-minded people following their hero all around the country, exhausting their bank accounts, camping out for days in the freezing cold and scorching heat to support Trump's re-election and make America great again.
The Front Row Joes are very successful, incredible people.
Trump's Front Row Joes, from executive producer Sean Spicer, former White House press secretary and communications director for President Donald J. Trump.
Friendships I've made over the years as a Front Row Joe, it's probably the best part of it.
Don't miss Trump's Front Row Joes. Watch it now. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
All right, folks. Don't forget 5 o'clock Eastern tonight, the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. And we have a full lineup. So it's going to be a lot of fun. That's 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, say hello to our good friend from the great state of Kansas, Senator Roger Marshall. Senator, hope you're doing well today.
We're doing great. It's like watching a morgue up here. These Democrats coming out of their meetings, and it looks like a morgue. They form a circular firing squad, so we're just laying low and staying out of the way. I'm almost tired of winning. It's so good.
Right? Exactly. We've been saying this all week, and I'm getting a little winded, but I still want to win some more. I just so you have to pace yourself, Senator. You got to. I'm curious. What are you hearing? I know there have been some senators that are now starting to come out and say, yeah, it's over. But do you think that's really going to move the needle? You think Biden's going to go?
Well, I think regardless of what happens here in the next week or two, the Democrats are stuck between a rock and a hard place. And the hard place is that Kamala Harris polls worse than Joe Biden. That's because she's left of him politically. She drank the Kool-Aid of this. She wrote the book on big government takeover, a big government progressivism. What's going to happen up here? I don't think that anybody truly knows. I think that Joe Biden's in the fight of his political life. I kind of said if they don't get him out of here by Friday or Saturday, I don't know how they do it, and really have a chance to respond. And it's interesting, from Wednesday to yesterday, there's been a big change up here of the wind blowing. All of a sudden, you got Nancy Pelosi and Jeffries saying, well, wait a second. We ought to take a look into this. Up until then, they were saying, oh, my gosh, he's our nominee. Everybody shut up. But now they're changing their tune a little bit. So it'll be interesting to see what's going on today.
Now, Senator, in addition to being a senator, you're also a doctor. And I'm curious, I know he's not your patient, but based on everything you have seen, what are the symptoms telling you?
Yeah, you know, for over 2 years, there's a dozen doctors up here in Congress, and we've been suspicious of, you know, what does the president have? And for 2 years, we've been saying it looks like Parkinson's. That's at the top of the differential diagnosis. We don't know if that's true or not, but if the onus is upon him, the White House, to prove it's not. Now we find out that a Parkinson's specialist in neurology has come to the White House at least 8 times in the past 6 months. The White House is lying about that. So what I've seen as a physician is a steady a decay in his cognitive and physical abilities. Even going back to last fall, his gait was stiff and shuffled, but he was still walking where his heel touches the ground first. So most people walk heel-toe, heel-toe, heel-toe. But now, this year, it looks like he's walking where the balls of his feet hit first, And that's certainly a sign of Parkinson's, and it can be other things, but it's not just simple old aging. I don't know if he has Parkinson's or not. There's lots of different types of Parkinson's. Some affect people's mental abilities more than others, but they should be able to show us, well, here's the MRI, here's the CAT scan, here's the dopamine scan. I mean, he has enough symptoms of Parkinson's that he probably needs what's called a dopamine scan. So I'm just shocked, and Americans are thinking there, so the White House has lied about this. What else are they lying about? How can Kamala Harris sit there and tell everybody yesterday that everything's fine? He's an amazing G.I. Joe. Yeah, he can do 100 push-ups, play 18 holes of golf. He's doing amazing. And then all of a sudden, if he resigns, what are they going to say then? She'll be caught in the biggest lie, the biggest cover-up, frankly, since Watergate.
I think it's the worst political scandal in the history of the Republic. I mean, there are some people saying that they recognized there were problems back in 2020. If that's the case, he could have been incapacitated in some way or another through his entire term in office, and everybody covered it up.
Yeah, it is that simple. And, you know, I think the most egregious things of all the things he said at the debate was that no American soldiers have died under his watch. Yeah. And I'm afraid he believes that. I'm afraid that A, he didn't know it, and B, that he's forgot it already, when in reality 13 soldiers died in the Afghanistan debacle, 3 more soldiers died not too long ago in Jordan. How does that make those 16 American families feel? How can he control national security? I mean, that's a very minor, cognitive process to understand the 16 American soldiers have died, but you're sitting there wondering, well, what's the next step in the chess match with Putin and President Xi, then how in the world can he make those jumps in cognitive ability? So, yeah, I think it's a huge national security problem, the most vulnerable this country has been since the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Senator Roger Marshall from Kansas on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Senator, real quick, about the doctors, and then I want to get to some legislation here, but the White House doctors, are they under any sort of obligation to actually tell the truth about the president's physical condition, or are they bound by HIPAA laws? I mean, can you give us any insight there?
I'm kind of holding my, thinking through that a little bit. Certainly, I think they are bound by HIPAA. I think the onus is upon Joe Biden to release all of his records. But now we find out his primary care doctor has been involved in the Hunter Biden shenanigans for months as well, for years as well, that somehow he's profiting from all these shell companies as well. So he's compromised. I really think if you got the Parkinson's doctor in front of us, he certainly is not going to lie, but I'm really concerned about the character of his primary care doctor as well. So I don't think that they can come out and talk about the president's health unless the president directs him to.
Okay. Well, yeah, and that makes sense. I get it. But again, we're talking about the leader of the free world, and we want to make sure that, he is of sound mind. Senator, the Supreme Court, I know you've weighed in on this. You believe they made the right decision on presidential immunity protections. The left has just, it's really not just insulting their take on it, but I think it's downright dangerous what they're saying the Supreme Court is doing here.
Absolutely. The Constitution clearly talks about presidential immunity with his official duties. And really all the Supreme Court said was, we confirm that, and that the case before us is actually a result of a weaponization of the Justice Department, that the Biden administration, when they figured out that President Trump was a very viable candidate, launched multiple lawsuits against the former president, basically a political crucifixion of their political opponent. And the Supreme Court said, wait a second, if these duties were official, then he's immune. And then the Supreme Court said, by the way, let's kick it back to the lower courts and let them figure out what was he doing and what was official and what isn't official. So certainly he cannot walk in the streets and shoot somebody. But if he's making a decision upon, what we should be doing in Afghanistan right now, or what we should be doing to secure the border, those are official duties. And Joe Biden should be grateful that the Supreme Court ruled in this direction. Otherwise, I go back to those 13 soldiers that lost their lives in Afghanistan. I think that he's criminally could be charged for the incompetent way they left Afghanistan. the 200,000 Americans that died from fentanyl poisoning. I think he's criminally responsible for those as well. So I think that Joe Biden and the Democrats should be grateful that the Supreme Court ruled this direction.
All right. Well, Senator, we're going to have to leave it there. Of course, 6:30 okay. Eastern tonight, President Biden holding that solo press conference. I know a lot of folks are going to be watching that tonight. So, all right.
Yeah. How long is it going to be? We hope it's longer than 22 minutes. So we look forward to it.
All right. Senator, thank you. Again, Senator Roger Marshall, everybody, also a medical doctor from Kansas. Some great insight into what he believes the president may be dealing with. All right, hang tight, everybody. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by the increasing cost of health insurance? Have you had enough of not having control over your healthcare dollars? Introducing ShareRight, healthcare done the right way. At ShareRight, you're not just a number. You're part of a caring community. And forget about paying excessive premiums. With ShareRight, you can save 30 to 50% compared to health insurance. Think about what you could do with all those savings. But it's more than just savings. ShareRight ensures that you have access to the care you deserve, precisely when you need it. From routine checkups to unexpected emergencies, with ShareRight, your healthcare is our top priority. Empower yourself today by taking control of your healthcare costs. Visit joinshareright.org to learn more and see how much you can save. Visit joinshareright.org for healthcare done the right way. That's joinshareright.org. ShareRight is a program of IHS, one of the fastest growing healthcare sharing organizations in the country.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Here's what I want you to do. You've got a little bit of homework today, ladies and gentlemen. So we've got four Republicans who just voted no to hold Merrick Garland in inherent contempt of Congress. So that vote has failed. We understand that Congresswoman Luna is going to reintroduce it and try again. But we have four Republicans who voted no, and we have their names and their telephone numbers over at ToddStearns.com. Would love for you to go over there and give those lawmakers a call and give them a piece of your mind. Now, the only thing this measure would have done, it would have fined Merrick Garland $10,000 a day for refusing to hand over those tapes, the special counsel's audio tapes of Joe Biden. What is the, there is a political term, and I'm trying to, it's right at the tip of my tongue, they suck. The Republicans just suck. I mean, there's really no way around it. It's really sad, and it's unfortunate, but they suck. And we'll see what happens. 12 other Republicans were not there. We don't know why. Some of them may have legitimate reasons for not being on Capitol Hill today. Others may not. This may have been the point of this may have been to give the Democrats just enough of an edge to make sure this went down in defeat. Now, some people are saying, and the argument is, you know what? We don't need to be doing this now. Let's wait. Let's let Biden, everything, all the attention needs to be on Joe Biden. But I get that, but on this issue, I want to see Merrick Garland in jail. The guy needs to be behind bars. And I get it. They were going to charge him $10,000 a day. They can still do that, but the guy needs to be in jail. That's just my take on it. All right. Our telephone number is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We're going to be taking your calls this hour. Let's start the day by going to North Carolina. Mike. Hi, Mike. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. How are you today?
I'm well. What's on your mind, Mike?
Well, I've been on the road the past couple of few days, and the all the media outlets that I have heard, you know, on the claim that Joe Biden lost no troops under his command, you know, we're absolutely positive about the 13 in Afghanistan. we have the three that after 156 failed attacks were killed in Jordan, which I will never understand why we went through all those attacks. But I'm an old Navy combat vet, and I'm just really sad that two of my brother Navy SEALs died in the Gulf of Aden. I think it was roughly about 6 months ago, trying to board a Yemeni ship, I believe it was, and they have never been mentioned in any of the media outlets, and I'm just absolutely perplexed, and my heart goes out to their families. These, you know, two of the finest men in the United States military lost their lives performing their jobs, and it seems as though they were just forgotten.
I think ultimately, Mike, when you look at the Democrats, and I don't want to paint with a broad brush because there are some patriots in the Democrat Party who have served, but I would say by and large, people like Joe Biden, they just don't care. Remember when the bodies were coming back and they were at Dover, and remember Joe Biden looking down at his watch, wondering, okay, how much longer is this going to take? You remember that, those photographs,
oh,
Mike?
I doubled up on my blood pressure medication within 30 seconds of seeing that.
It's and again, this is something that was left over from the Obama administration, where they hated the military. And really, one of the things that I think they were very successful in doing is not only dismantling our military, but infecting the Pentagon with this critical race theory, this diversity, equity, inclusion training that has really, really undermined our ability to fight wars effectively.
Absolutely. As well as the drag queen shows on military bases.
Yes. And as a matter of fact, I'm working on a story. We have video that we've been sent from Navy ships. And apparently this is really bad. The LGBT stuff is really bad in the Air Force and the Navy. And in this video, they have drag queens. You've got the commander of the ship who's literally cutting a rainbow colored cake. And this is all happening on one of the warships, for crying out loud, Mike.
Amazing. I never served on a warship with females. I was never in combat with females. I rarely ran across females during my time in, and things went pretty smooth.
Imagine that. Imagine that. So they weren't forcing you guys to wear stiletto heels.
No, sir.
Oh, what was that? Remember, was it the Coast Guard? This was years ago. And the Coast Guard, they were marching in red high heels. This was years ago. I'll have to find that story, and it made all the headlines, but people were really sort of freaked out by that. So, Mike, God bless you. Thank you for serving, and you're right. We do not forget. We don't forget the sacrifice on this radio program, but I'm afraid the same cannot be said at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I'm afraid so. All right, Mike, God bless you, and thank you for calling. 901-260-5926. We have so much going on this for the next couple of hours on the show. I've got to get this story to you. Someone sent this to me from Duke University, the medical school. Any Duke grads in the audience? What is going on at the Duke School of Medicine? So here's the headline: that expecting doctors to be on time is now considered racist. So this is all from the Duke University School of Medicine, and they say that expecting people to be on time is part of a white supremacy culture. And they're saying that the school now believes that equity, diversity, and inclusion are core elements of institutional excellence. And Duke now says they're committed to developing and implementing a culture of inclusion among faculty, staff, and students from underrepresented backgrounds. So may I just ask a question? I'm just wondering here, how many stupid people are in medical school? And some people may say, well, there are none. Okay, well, with the diversity, equity, and inclusion ideology, would you have to have idiots or allow stupid people to enroll in medical school to get that underrepresented group represented? I'm just asking here. Now, Duke says they've created a strategic plan for what they call an anti-racist workforce. And here we go. In the workplace, white supremacy culture explicitly and implicitly privileges whiteness and discriminates against non-Western and non-white professionalism standards. And this involves dress code. It involves the way you speak. It involves work style and timeliness. So now, and by the way, they never explain examples. So exactly how is it? So let's just say that Todd starts. Our show starts at noon 05 p.m., right? That's when the music comes on and we start our show. What would happen if I just showed up at, like, I don't know, 12:15? Just kind of wandered in. I don't think we would have a show. I really don't. I'm not sure you would tolerate the silence on your radio. I just don't believe that. So anyway, the Duke University is very concerned about all of this. And they did say, though, that people who, if you're a white person, if you're a person of the Caucasian persuasion, some people call us crackers. I prefer saltine American, if you will. That white people who take issue with all of this, you folks are suffering from something called white fragility. So you're fragile. But I don't know about that. Now, many of you know that May 17th, 2005, is when I had my big open heart surgery. I got a big mechanical aortic valve. If you get super quiet on the air, you can actually hear it ticking. But anyway, I digress. I had a great surgeon. Now, my surgeon was very effective. He was a white guy. He still is a white guy, to my knowledge. And he was on time. He was very prepared, and I'll never forget, he asked me, he goes, he was asking all sorts of questions. What kind of a valve would you like? We have some options here. And I said, I wanted a big valve, so I thought it would enhance my barbecue eating experience. And he said, well, we don't do that. Those valves don't last very long, so you're going to get a graphite. I got a St. Jude heart valve. He said, what kind of music do you want me to play in the operating room? And I said, whatever music makes you comfortable, Doc. And sure enough, the doctor was a big ABBA fan. He liked Swedish pop. And so he played ABBA music. Side story, I was in the produce section one day at Kroger, and ABBA, Mamma Mia, came over the Dancing Queen, came over the Muzak system. And I stopped and I got triggered right there in front of the heads of lettuce. It's like, you are the dancing. It's not the surgical saw. It was, anyway, I see I'm getting triggered right now just thinking about it. It's terrible. PTSD. Terrible. So anyway, my doctor was not blind and he was not deaf. Now, I want you to think about something for a moment. Let's just say that you're having open heart surgery. Would you allow a blind person to operate on you? Now, I don't know if this makes me a bad person or not, but I'm not sure I want a blind person or a doctor with no arms operating on me. I don't want those nubs just kind of like, you know, squishing stuff around inside of me, right? You want somebody with working fingers? You want somebody who can actually see that they're opening up your chest and not your cheek, right? I mean, that's... Does that make me a bad person? Am I going to get protest from the blind community? I don't mean that in a bad way at all, right? I really don't. But it just seems to me that you want a physically fit surgeon operating on you. Now, as far as this other stuff, I'm not sure that it's white people having a problem with the fact that, you know, you've got a diversity hire that's about to cut you open. I think the issue here is that, by and large, and I may be off the mark here, but I think that the average American, they don't want their doctor showing up and, you know, wearing a loincloth and talking jive, right? I think they want somebody who's wearing a lab coat, you know, the white doctor's coat and a nice shirt from Brooks Brothers and a tie. And they want somebody who's speaking the King's English so you can understand. That's what I think. But I don't know. Some of you may want your doctor to show up, you know, wearing nothing but a loincloth and, I don't know, singing hip hop or something. I don't know. Maybe that's you. To each his own, I say. But all that to say, if you're going to Duke and you're going to have an operation and your surgeon is a diversity hire, then you better show up, bring a book, bring a ham sandwich, and, you know, settle in. You may be waiting a while. But can we all get real for a moment? Have any of you actually ever been to the doctor and you were seen on time? Right? That's, to me, that's the bigger issue, I think. If your appointment is at 10 o'clock, you should, and then they tell you to be there at 9 o'clock for your 10 o'clock appointment, and they finally get around to seeing you at lunchtime. You better pack a ham sandwich either way. All right, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right, good to have you with us. Coming up, Robin Poffman doing a preview of the presidential race and, of course, President Biden's press conference a little bit later on today, 6:30. We'll be live blogging that a little bit later on. So this is pretty fascinating. You've got The Daily Show, and they put together a focus group of black New Yorkers, and they had six black voters in New York, and they thought they were all supporting Joe Biden, but here's how it all worked out. Cut 17.
Okay, so who will you be voting for in 2024, Daryl?
Do I have to say his name? I don't want to, but more than likely, it's going to be Trump.
Yeah, okay. Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Who are you going to be voting for?
Biden.
And then Victor?
I'm with her.
Oh, Biden, okay.
Trump.
Trump?
Biden. Mm-hmm.
Biden?
Trump.
Okay, we're an even split, which I didn't see that coming. So do you think there's going to be a big shift, any sort of change?
I think it's going to be a big shift.
Me too.
Big shift?
Yes.
Big really?
Shift.
Okay.
For me, I've always been a Democrat, and it's like for the most part with the Democratic Party, they always make a bunch of promises that they can't deliver.
You know, they use the issues of the African-American community as a soapbox to stand on, mm-hmm. and make promises, you know, just to get us to come out and vote. And then once we vote and everyone's in place, it's like, well, what happened?
Wow. There you go. And by the way, we're hearing similar things in Chicago as well among black voters there. Curious to hear from some of our black listeners out there. Are you beginning to hear some of that kind of talk in your community? Are you starting to hear that black voters may not be voting for Joe Biden this year? I want to play. This is a pro-black activist. His name is Dr. Umar, and I don't think he likes listen to what he had to say, cut 19.
How is it that you ain't got money for jobs for black people? Which is a big reason why you got so much crime. You got all these homeless black people in Chicago, but you can take care of the migrants before you take care of black people. And that's why I'm hoping that black Chicago organizes, just like co-founder of the Black Panther Party, Bobby Seale, did at the 1968 Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Bobby Seale turned up and turned it out with the Black Panthers. I hope Chicago doesn't let President Biden and Vice President Harris come there, because you know the Democratic National Convention is in Chicago,
right?
August 19th through August the 21st. I hope Black Chicago don't let the Democrats come to your city where they have bred this migrant crisis and y'all don't do nothing about it. And I'm going to tell you who else needs to stand up and show out. Milwaukee. Even though they don't have a migrant crisis like Chicago and New York, the Republican convention is in Milwaukee next Monday, this coming Monday. And guess what? Milwaukee, Black people are the largest ethnic group. Unlike Chicago, it's white, Hispanic, Black. Milwaukee is Black, white, Hispanic. But guess what? Milwaukee has one of the worst Black male graduation rates in America. So I'm hoping that Black Wisconsin goes to that Republican National Convention and exercise their First Amendment rights to peacefully assemble and protest.
All right. So I'm, well, look, I like the first part of it, but my Black Panther brother, listen up here. Black Wisconsin is actually run by Democrats. Just want to point that out here. Republicans, they want to send the illegals back to where they came from, so that Black people and white people and Hispanic people and Asian people can have jobs. All right, 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
According to two sources, before cabinet meetings that the president attends, cabinet officials will submit their questions and talking points, key talking points and bullet points that they plan to present to the president in these closed door meetings. This is how one source described it. They said the entire display is kind of an act. They would come and say, hey, the president is going to call on you about 25 minutes in and ask this question. What are the bullet points that you'll respond with? Now, the White House's defense has been that that is standard practice for any administration. They said in a setting like this, you never want the president to be not aware of what is going to be discussed. They want to also just be mindful of the president's time. But we also spoke with sources from the Obama years who said in the cabinet meetings for former President Barack Obama, those were never this meticulously scripted.
All right, that's one of the reporterettes over at CNN. And again, this is all further evidence that this has been a great big conspiracy to cover up the president's mental, his wackadoodle status. That's what this is. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, say hello to our good friend, national correspondent Robin Poffman. Robin, hope you're doing well today.
I am upset about all this. Really upset.
Why are you upset? Normally you come right out of the gate charging, and I'm like, wow, we just lurched to a stop here. Talk to me, Robin.
Just repeat what you just said. We dropped out. Say that again.
Talk to me, Robin. Bring it. Bring what you got.
Talk to me, Robin. Well, here's the bottom line, Todd. This is a man who is medically ill. This is someone who's sick. This is somebody's father, somebody's grandfather, somebody's uncle. Everyone in your listening audience right now at this moment in time knows somebody who's in the mental state of Joe Biden. And he is being propped up, all this bogus questions and all these cue cards, and none of it makes a difference. Because when you have dementia, let alone dementia with a touch of Parkinson's starting, you can eat breakfast and 5 minutes later ask him, what did you eat for breakfast, sir? And he can't tell you if he had cereal, pancakes, a donut, or an English muffin. And so they're trying to prop him up and do all this prep, but none of it is going to work. Dementia doesn't get better. It only spirals down and gets worse.
That's the thing here, Robin, is that, yeah, he's not going to get better. And there are so many videos coming out now of just his behavior today. He's already starting to slur the words. We understand the press conference has been moved to 6:30 tonight. It was originally 5:30. And so I think a lot of people are going to be watching that, especially in the Democrat Party to decide, okay, are we safe enough to come out and now say Biden's got to go publicly?
You know, I think they're setting him up for failure. And he's got this medical condition, and you just can't hide it anymore. But, you know, getting him off the stage is a whole different thing, because with that dementia and with that Parkinson's, there are people that, and you've seen this, Todd, they go the anger road, you know what I'm saying? And there's a little bit of anger and aggressiveness that can be, you know, I'm not a doctor, but I'm a student of human nature. And I've seen this with some of the elderly people that have this disease, and they get real angry and short and ornery, like you see him getting. And again, until Jill and Hunter and the sister and the brother and all these people that have had thousands of dollars deposited into their bank accounts, allegedly from foreign countries, some of them adversarial to the U.S., unless that inner circle says, Joe, dad, hubby, you're gone, he's still going to be in the seat until he, you know, something else worse happens to him, if you know what I mean.
So, Robin, and again, this is just fascinating. I feel like we're back, you know, you and I were just little munchkins when Watergate was happening. The only thing I remember is my favorite TV show as a little child, I was like 3 years old, was Emergency, you know, the old with the sirens and the fire trucks in Los Angeles. And they kept interrupting that program. It just angered me as a child, which I think is why I'm a Republican now. But that aside, I think this is far worse than Watergate, because this literally puts the nation in grave jeopardy. I mean, we're staring down at least three possible wars, and we've got Russian subs parked off the Florida coast. So there's a lot riding on whether or not we've got a commander in chief who knows what time of day it is.
And I will make the point, adding to what you just said, those are the catastrophes, potential catastrophes that we know about, right? Like the Russians, you know, hitting the children's hospital in Ukraine, the hostages still being held in Gaza, the ones that are, you know, still alive, we hope and pray. The ship, like you were saying, off the coast of Florida, those are the things that are actually like on the radar screen. What about a surprise terrorist attack in this country? What about the unknown? We're coming into August, where people are typically asleep at the wheel and on vacation and the, you know, summer doldrums and the news media cycle, you know, after the election, after the, not the elections, but after the conventions are over. And, you know, all the mainstream media will normally talk about is like, you know, shark attacks in the water in Florida. But, you know, this is a really dangerous time as we head into Labor Day and then the 9/11 23-year anniversary and then the election. Between you and me, Todd, I'm looking over my shoulder, and it concerns me greatly that we have somebody in the White House and nobody's home. He is mentally not there.
It's true. The front porch light is on, but nobody's home. That's the challenge. Robin, I'm curious, though, what happens next? You've got the RNC. I don't think Biden, if he's going to drop out, he would drop out next week. So then you're looking at, you know, the DNC meeting in Chicago coming up in August. And it's just based on what I've seen, I don't think the guy's going to go anywhere. So the next step is, okay, if he's not going to go willingly, do they go the route of invoking the 25th?
I don't think so, because that's too cumbersome, and there's literally not enough dates on the calendar, Todd, to move that along. I don't see that happening. I see him having a medical incident first, before any 25th Amendment, because like you just said, you know, that you have the RNC on Monday, and then, you know, a couple weeks later, you've got this Chicago situation. Then you have Labor Day weekend, you have the 9/11 anniversary, then you have, you know, October, and then the election, and the early voting is starting in Pennsylvania in just a couple of weeks. So where is this happening, and how are they replacing him unless it becomes an open convention, which is very possible? And then you would have Kamala Harris up there and, you know, the other usual suspects, you know, Slick Willie II from Governor Gavin Newsom and his hair gel and Gretchen Whitmer and her bugged out eyes from Michigan. She's, you want her running the country? Look at what she's, how she's ruined the state of Michigan with her COVID lockdowns. I mean, and you can go down the list, and one is worse than the next.
Robin Poffman on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Meanwhile, Trump is having the time of his life down at Mar-a-Lago playing golf, and I love it. He's letting he's letting the Democrats do what they're doing, and he is staying out of their way, and I love it.
It's kind of fun to just watch the ball of yarn come down the steps and just completely unravel that snowball coming down the hill and just going and gaining speed. Now you even have the Hollywood crowd that you, I'm sure you saw the George Clooney situation where he's calling on Biden to step down. You know, you could have a thousand voices calling on the guy in the Senate, the Vermont senator, what is his name, Peter Welch. He's coming forward. So you've got this whole orchestra of voices. You have all these voices, a chorus of voices calling on this guy to get out. But unless it's Jill, Dr. Jill, whispering in his ear, or Hunter for that matter, this guy is not going to leave. The arrogance and the ego is going to prevent him from leaving, Todd, dementia, Parkinson's or not.
Yeah, and we just had Congress or Senator Roger Marshall on from Kansas, who, and he is a medical doctor, and he says there are about a dozen of them up on Capitol Hill. And they all say he is showing classic symptoms of Parkinson's. That and he is very, very concerned about that. Robin, can we take a call here? I want to bring in Patty from North Carolina because she has a theory about what else is going on here. Patty, hi, you're on the air with me and Robin.
Hey, guys. Hey, Robin, how are you?
I'm good. Hi. How you doing, Miss Patty?
I'm good. I have a theory here. I really believe Obama is still calling the shots. I'm saying when Clooney came out, I don't believe Clooney came out on his own. I think Obama is calling all the elite.
Well, to that point, Patty, there's new reporting today out that Clooney ran the op-ed by Obama, and Obama personally signed off on it.
Exactly. Obama doesn't want to look like the bad guy here. He's throwing everybody under the bus. You say to get out. You say to get out. You know what? Has he said to Joe, come on, Joe, you're going to step down? Obama has not opened his mouth.
Robin, what do you make of that?
I completely agree. Obama always wants to be, you know, protecting his own bubble of his own reputation. And he's not getting on the Titanic with Joe Biden. I agree. It's not a good look to, as a former president, to call out another president. Nobody's doing that. Just like George Bush never weighed in, you know, like, and never was commenting on the next presidency. You know, it's best to just keep your mouth shut and let somebody else do your dirty work. And that's what's going on here. That's exactly what's in play.
All right, Patty, thank you for that call. 901-260-5926. I mean, I don't know. Does Biden ditch Kamala Harris? Is that the play here? We're going to let you save face, but you got to get a new VP because everybody knows she's not qualified.
I don't see how they skip over her for a multitude of reasons. I don't see how it happens, Todd. Do you? I mean, how are you skipping over this woman? She's the vice, regardless of what you may think of her, what I may think of her, what the American public thinks of her. She's the one who's got the nameplate on the door. She's the vice president of the United States. Incredibly, as incredible as it is, she can't string two coherent sentences together. And that laugh, that cackle will send you right over the cliff.
Oh, but, you mentioned the cackle. You mean this cackle?
Poor hubby.
God. It's up there with Hillary Clinton, telling you.
Oh, it's terrible. At least she's not. Yeah, she wears the pantsuit better. I'll give her that much. So.
Yeah, she does. I mean, she's, you know, in a lot better shape. She's a lot, you know, she's fit, but she's not mentally fit.
They might have to shove
the problem. I just don't see how they pass pass over her. I mean, what's going to be the play? I mean, it's a dizzying when you actually sit down with a pen and paper and try to figure this out with the options. It's dizzying. It is dizzying.
Bring Jimmy Carter back. Let him.
He's going to be 100, by the way.
It's insane. That's crazy. Robin. Yes. So 6:30 tonight. You're going to be watching.
Are you kidding? Of course. I'm stopping everything on my very busy schedule. You know me, I go to the opening of an envelope. I'm everywhere. But time is going to stand still because I've got to see this. Like, you know, you're hanging on every word.
I want to know if he physically attacks Peter Ducey. That's what I'm waiting for. Because you're right. There is like an anger component, and he's an angry man. And I'm just waiting for him to, like, one of those reporters is gonna get him, and they're gonna grind his gears, and then it's gonna be over. Kind of like Nancy.
I would just lastly say this, Todd. You know, you say about him going after Ducey. You know, Jill Biden is always standing to the right of him, behind him, wherever. She's like his handler, and once he starts going off the rails, she like gives the guy the hook. You know, the old fashioned hook in vaudeville. She literally gives him the hook and tries to save him from himself. But there's a point, Todd, where there's no going back. There's no, you know, you have cancer, it can be cured. You have a heart problem, there's a cure. There's a lot of cures to a lot of diseases, except for what he's got.
Yeah, fair point. All right, we got to leave it there, Robin. Great analysis, and it'll be very interesting. We will all be watching with you tonight, 6:30, President Biden holding that press conference. Thanks, Robin.
You're welcome.
All right. There you go. With the great Robin Poffman, everybody, and always provides excellent analysis. By the way, the rumor is that Hunter is now serving as the de facto chief of staff for his dad. Is that Hunter? He's got a call something on the nose there. All right, 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Big news, folks, a new Reuters study. And, man, do they love Newsmax. Millions of people are turning off old media, now turning into Newsmax, one of the top news brands in all of America. That's right, folks. Newsmax, by the way, announcing plans to go public later this year. And, folks, if you're eligible, you can actually become an owner of Newsmax. You can purchase preferred shares pre-IPO right now. Just go to NewsmaxInvest.com to see if you're eligible. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. You can go online, read Newsmax's memo, Forbes magazine, among those saying Newsmax is a news powerhouse. So to find out more, visit NewsmaxInvest.com right now. All right, I'm just curious. What do you think is going to happen here, folks? Will Biden resign, or do you think the Democrats are going to force him out, or are they stuck with Joe Biden? Either way, I think it's all great for President Trump. I really do. And again, the clock is ticking. So every day that Joe Biden stays in the race, and I don't think it's going to be Kamala. I just don't see how she can be. I really don't. So coming up in the next hour, this is going to be an interesting conversation. We're going to be talking to the chairman of the Log Cabin Republicans. There's been a lot of conversation about the direction of the Republican Party, the party platform. And so we've been talking with Tony Perkins this week. Wanted to bring in the Log Cabin Republicans into the conversation because they are growing incredibly fast. The number of LGMBs that are now identifying as Republicans. So there you go. I guess the T stands for Trump now, right? The LGBT and the T stands for Trump because a lot of them are now supporting Donald Trump. So we're going to get into that a little bit later on in the next hour of the program. And by the way, folks, now is a great opportunity to head to the website. And, you know, we'd love to get your feedback on what you see over on the website. We're always interested in improving things and making things easier for you guys to navigate. We have a lot of things for you to do there. You can watch our videos. You can download our podcast. We have lots of great stories for you to read as well. Sort of one-stop shopping. And, of course, we would love for you to sign up for our breaking news alerts, as well as my podcast. So you get all 3 hours of the show. And I know I hear from a lot of you guys, you're on your lunch break and you don't hear the full hour or for 3 hours. Well, you can do that by getting our free podcast. All right, folks, hang tight. Hour three coming up next.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
His issue is not a one-off cognitive test. His issue is that he's super old. He is an obvious decline from when he ran in 2020 and from when he served as vice president. And no test is going to reverse what we've seen. The reason he's having so much trouble with all this is because he spent his entire career getting used to his own largely fabricated personal narrative being successfully covered up. This is disorienting for him. This is the first time in his life that his personal narrative is not being covered up, either by Democrats or by media looking the other way. This is the first time we've seen on full display the truth of Joe Biden. They have covered this up for so long, and it's a scandal.
It is a scandal. That's Scott Jennings just dropping truth bomb after truth bomb over on CNN last night, and he's absolutely right. I mean, how many times has the media just laughed it off? They said, oh, that's just old Joe. Yeah, we know he wasn't a truck driver. We know that he really didn't go to war with a gangbanger by the name of Corn Pop. We know that he probably did let little kids caress his leg hairs at the swimming pool. Yeah, we'll give him that one. But we're going to take a pass. He's just old, lovable Joe. No, he's not. And good for Scott Jennings for calling him out on it. Hello, everybody. Glad to have you with us. This is hour three of the Todd Starnes radio program. Before we get into that, and we've got more to say about Joe Biden tonight, 6:30, the press conference. Congressman Tim Burchett went on the Timcast yesterday, and he dropped some truth bombs on the Southern Baptist Convention, which is the largest non-Catholic denomination in American history, or in the country right now. So anyway, Burchett was on there, and he was making a point about why Christians and how Christians are being disengaged from the culture. And he's calling out leaders within the Southern Baptist Convention who have turned a blind eye to some of the most pressing issues of the day. And the reason why this is, look, the Catholics and the Baptists, they may be at odds theologically, but politically, these guys are very important to the moral health of the country. And the Catholics, you guys have a pope that's gone woke. And the Baptists, you guys have, you don't have a pope, but you've got preachers who've gone woke. And far too many churches, and especially the Baptist churches, far too many Baptist churches in America have disengaged from the culture war fight. And what's sad about that, ladies and gentlemen, and I write about this in my new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? That in the early days of, before we even had a country, they were having a hard time convincing people that we needed to fight for our freedom. So they recruited a bunch of Baptist preachers from South Carolina, including the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Charleston, South Carolina. The founding fathers recruited these pastors to go into the upstate of the Carolinas and raise up an army. And they did. Now, if these pastors would have been alive today, they would be accused of being Christian nationalist. And they're using that phrase. The left is using that phrase. It's been coined by George Soros-funded groups. And the term Christian nationalism is really meant to scare preachers who otherwise would be speaking truth into the culture. Here's Congressman Burchett. Cut 20.
There was a bill, I can't remember, it was 3 or 4 years ago, and I'm a Christian. I'm not a very good one. I'm on the forgiven end, but I'm a born-again Christian. And so I called the head of the Southern Baptist Convention, and I went through the rigmarole. Finally found it was this guy down in Texas. It was a few years back. And there was a bill out that I thought put into place, I'm not a lawyer, but I heard enough talking of this chess game. It put it into place where it could set a precedent where, say, a preacher was saying something that they could label as hate speech. Well, they could go in, take their tax-exempt status, deadbolt. That's what I think they're up to eventually. Well, I called the head of Southern Baptist Convention, and I explained this to him. And I live in Knoxville, Tennessee, dude. I am the – remember big cowboy belt buckles? You know, they got a big piece of turquoise right in the center. I'm in the turquoise of that. I live in the Bible Belt. You know, there's probably 80 or 90 Baptist churches in my county and the surrounding area. So I called the head of the Southern Baptist Convention. I say, hey, this is going on. I did not ever hear from a single Baptist minister or anybody on this thing. And he said to me, he said, Tim, that happened, you know, in like around November or December. And honestly, that's our busy time of the year, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas. I said, preacher, I said, you're not going to be busy when the government comes and puts a deadbolt on that dadgum door, because that's where it's headed. You know, and I said, you guys, that's no excuse. And I lit up a bunch of preachers. All I did was make people mad. But at some point, we've got to realize, we got to quit, you know, oh, I don't want to be anybody call me out on Facebook. I don't want somebody at work. I don't care. You got to go in there. First Amendment's a great thing till you say something somebody doesn't like.
Yep.
You know, let them have it, man. Stand up. These people bully us. You know, I was in college in the 80s in the Reagan Revolution, and I had a psychology professor, and I would argue with her every day because she was always attacking Reagan. She's always, and I know her name, and I've Googled where she's at now, and she's at some do-gooder private school. But and I would walk out of there, and every day somebody would say, man, I'm really glad you took it to her, man. I really agree with you. I was like, dude, girl, why didn't you help me? You know, why didn't you jump in? Well, you know, I just didn't want to. I'm a little shy, you know. And that's the way we are, man. And good folks, honestly, they're too busy. They're raising their kids. They're taking them to soccer practice. They're taking them to football practice, whatever. They're cheerleading or whatever. And they're too busy to get involved. And that's why we lose these elections.
I have a very simple question for you. Is your church involved in local politics? Is your local church involved in what's happening in your town, in your community? Is your local church, are they alerting moms and dads as to what's happening, the indoctrination in the public school? Is that happening in your community? I really would like to hear from some of you about this. And I mean, just get a good gauge on whether or not this is a massive issue in the country right now. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. So I think it's shocking when you hear what Tim Burchett just said, that he was calling up a sitting member of Congress, was calling the head of the Southern Baptist Convention, 15, 16 million members. Oh, it's down to 14 now. All right, they're hemorrhaging members. And one of the reasons why is that they're just, you know, I don't know, limp-wristed as a denomination. It's really sad. But anyway, you've got, so it's still a massive amount of people. And you've got a member of Congress calling up the president of the Southern Baptist Convention and saying, hey, preacher, you've got a problem here coming. The Democrats want to label your sermons as hate speech. They want to take away your tax-exempt status. They want to shut you down. And the congressman is warning him about this. And what did the president of the Southern Baptist Convention say at the time? Well, you know, we're getting ready for the hanging of the greens, and we've got the Thanksgiving, and we got the Christmas pageant. Can you come back maybe next year sometime? Ladies and gentlemen, this is what's wrong with America right now. This is it right here. We have to have churches that are willing to stand up and fight the good fight. You know, I see this up close and personal as the owner of a news talk radio station in Memphis, Tennessee, KWAM. And I see Ben Dieter, who is the morning show host, and you hear him on this program quite a bit. He is just really an incredible mind, and he is fearless. That guy is fearless, and he speaks truth to power, and he does a great job of it, and he's very effective. But we will get people, and I've seen this over and over again, and people come to us, and they're like, you know, now we don't want to be named. We don't want you to use our name, but this is what's happening. Or, you know, he'll invite people to call in. They won't call in. They won't call. They don't want to be identified. They don't want their businesses or their livelihoods to come under attack. And they want us to do that job for them, which, by the way, we are happy to do. That is our job, is to stand in the gap and to call out government. That's what we do in Memphis, Tennessee on my radio station. We hold our elected leaders accountable. I don't care if they're Democrat or Republican. But we've got to do that. And we're always going to do that. But I got to tell you something. We're not afraid. And you shouldn't be either. Right? I know it's not a good feeling when somebody's out there calling you a sorry so-and-so. And you're, you know, I get that. But you still have to stand up. You still got to fight. You got to put it all on the line. It's a country worth saving, right? That's what I think. So anyway, I'm just really disappointed in the Southern Baptist Convention. They could have been a great force of good. But since Obama, the Southern Baptist Convention has basically unraveled. A lot of preachers are just afraid to speak out. Well, Todd, you know, we've got the big building project, and we're putting in a coffee bar, and we really don't want to kind of, like, you know, tick anybody off. We got to try to, you know, just kind of go with the flow. I mean, you've got churches out there now that won't even talk about, like, issues like marriage or sex and gender. Well, you know, we have to practice pronoun hospitality, WWJD, Todd. Well, yeah, what would Jesus do if Margaret came up and said, no, my name is Mike? No, Jesus would say, no, your name is Marge. Marge? I mean, come on. It's crazy. So there you go. Thank you, Congressman Tim Burchett, for sharing that little nugget, because it all makes sense. You kind of get an idea this stuff happens, right? But it's still a little unsettling when you hear a sitting member of Congress said, yeah, we tried to tell the Baptist that they're being targeted, and they said, yeah, can you come back later? Now's not a good time. Oh, by the way, and I don't know if you've heard this, horrible, horrible sex scandals impacting the church. Here's my take on that, and it's pretty simple. You're a preacher, you're a Sunday school teacher, and you fiddle around with a kid, you should be executed. Period. That's it. You're done. Off to the lake of fire with you. That's how you fix that problem. But anyway, there are a lot of churches out there that don't have those issues. And, you know, again, if you're a church and you're dealing with these kinds of things and you do it the right way, then we honor that, right? I mean, you've got bad people out there. But now the insurance companies are stepping in and they're like, oh, well, we don't know if we should provide insurance for you. And a lot of churches are starting to lose their insurance policies. You watch what's going to happen here to the church, ladies and gentlemen. They're coming under fierce attack, and I don't think they're going to be willing. I don't think the church in America is going to be willing to stand up and defend itself. I really don't. All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
Jerry from Northern Little Rock here. I just wanted to say real quick that I believe the story about Donald Trump having some kind of issue with facial hair is complete, absolute malarkey. And no one will convince me any different unless perhaps the next time I see Sebastian Gorka or Don Jr., they are completely clean shaven.
Todd, we've made fun of Kamala's saying she's said since she's been vice president, but she's a prophet. what can be is she can be president. If unburdened by what has been, which is if she's unburdened of Joe Biden, who is the has-been.
All right. Well, thank you there, gentlemen from Arkansas, two of our great Arkansas listeners using our app. And by the way, you can download that at kwamradio.com. That's kwamradio.com, and you can leave us a shout-out. Be sure to always tell us your name and what city you're calling from. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Richard in Florida, listening to us on WOCA. Hi, Richard. What's on your mind today?
How do you do, sir? Well, I just agree with what you said about so many people are cowards. So many of these preachers are worried what people say about them or what they'll do. You know, all the disciples was martyrs, and they didn't martyr them because they went with the flow. They martyred them because they took a stand for what was right. And all down through time, it's been that way. And it worries me that so many people are so worried about what somebody's going to say or do or think, and therefore they won't stand up for the truth or what they won't say what needs to be said. And I appreciate that senator taking a stand he did. And I would just listen to what y'all are saying, and I agree with that. These guys need to stand up and take a stand.
You know, Richard, if you think about this, if the church had done the right thing during the early days of the rise of the Nazis, you wonder if things would have turned out differently. If the churches would have taken a bold stand.
I agree 1,000, and I'm not just saying this. Those same things kind of was going through my mind while I was waiting on you to come to the phone about Nazism. And because nobody would take a stand. When that thing first started, it was a small group. But nobody would stand for what was right. And I'm afraid we're going to have the same thing here if we're not careful, if people don't start taking a stand.
I completely agree with that. Absolutely. And Richard, I can tell you, that far too many talk show hosts, they're caught up in the politics of it all, and they don't look at the root cause of where we are. And the root cause is not about politics. The root cause is something called sin. And, you know, Rush, in the final years that Rush was on the air, Rush really hit hard on those issues. And I think really, you know, towards the, you know, the last, you know, 3 or 4 years of his life, Rush was really focused on faith and the importance of faith. When you go back and read his books, including the Rush Revere series, you know, that was a very important thing for Rush Limbaugh. So I think we do need to be focused on keeping the, you know, understanding that what we're dealing with is spiritual warfare at the root, at the core.
I agree 1,000%, Mr. Todd. I do. It's all born down to that. Mm. The root of it is sin. You're 100% right, and we got to take a stand against sin. If the Christians can't do it and the preachers can't take a stand, what chance do we got?
That's it. Richard, well said, sir, and thank you for calling in. Thanks for listening to the show, and give us a call back one of these days. Wow, one of the things I miss, you know, we had to stop doing this during COVID. But we would do an annual gathering of our listeners at The Cove, the beautiful Billy Graham Training Center in the mountains right outside of Asheville. And we'd have a couple of hundred of our listeners from all over the country get together. What a wonderful weekend of just fellowship, fun, laughter, great, great preaching, speakers, music, the whole nine yards. Maybe we need to do that again. I kind of miss that stuff. Well, you know what? We'll survey everybody and see. Maybe it's time to do something like that again. By the way, folks, Mike Lindell, MyPillow, they've got some incredible offers going on right now. MyPillow.com, and use my promo code STARNS. MyPillow.com, use promo code STARNS, or you can give them a call, 1-800-839-8506. Use my promo code STARNS. That's going to unlock unbelievable savings over at MyPillow. 901-260-5926 is our number. We'll be right back, folks. All right, folks, don't forget 5 o'clock Eastern tonight on Newsmax. We will have a preview of President Biden's speech, the press conference tonight. That's happening at 6:30 Eastern, and you'll be able to watch all of that live on Newsmax as well. Well, there has been a lot of talk about the Republican Party platform over the past week or so. I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, say hello to Charles Moran, who is the chairman of the Log Cabin Republicans. Charles, hope you're doing good today.
Thanks so much for having me on, Todd.
You know, Charles, it's fascinating when you look at the state of the Republican Party right now, and I think it really is becoming that big tent party that Ronald Reagan envisioned. The question is, you know, the bigger the tent gets, the more people and demographics and ideologies are fighting for a space on that platform. How do you see the Republican Party right now?
Well, I see this as a really opportunity to take our message as conservatives about small government, individual responsibility, and personal freedom, and take it to more constituencies across America who have been taken for granted by Democrats for so long. You know, one of the things that people talk about is if you take some of this language out or you make the language more broad, you dilute the meaning. But I don't really agree with that. And I think that we can, you know, we can talk about our traditional values, but extend the invitation for more people to be a part of that. And this whole belief that, well, if you take out something, you're losing the meaning, just doesn't resonate with, you know, how we build a coalition of the willing and of the winning in America.
Yeah, by the way, and you feel free to borrow this, Charles. You can steal it if you want to. LGBT, the T stands for Trump. You like that? I think that's great.
Well, and, you know, in America, you know, we've seen this shift where, you know, the left has continued to co-opt institutions in society. You know, we saw it with critical race theory. They've, you know, and now they're going after issues like gender, and they're trying to redefine what gender is, and it's about a choice, and it's obviously not. It's about biology. And I do believe that fundamentally in America that, you know, people believe in equality for the L's, the G's, the B's, and the T's. But we've got to put some guardrails around that. And that's things like preserving women's spaces and protecting women's sports and Title IX, parental consent at every level, and no permanent gender transition under the age of 18. I don't call this moderate. I don't call this centrist. I call it common sense. That's where Donald Trump is. That's actually where a majority of LGBT people are in this country. And as we as gay conservatives, that's what we're taking. And we talk about the issues, you know, again, as the platform's being discussed and as we start to broaden out that invitation. You know, I tell people that, you know, we believe in traditional family values, but that includes our families too. We have as much of a right to have strong families that create strong communities and a strong state and a strong nation. We're a part of this. And this is why it's so critical. And I think Donald Trump sees this and the leadership team at the RNC sees that we have this incredible opportunity here where Democrats continue to be the party of division and say, no, you've got to sit in your little box and you've got to fit in your little corner. Donald Trump is saying, look, if you believe in these tenets of America first, you have a seat at our table, and he wants a Republican Party that's going to emulate that. And that's how we win. And that's the most important thing.
But Charles, how do you respond to folks like Tony Perkins and, you know, the evangelical base of the party? And it's a pretty large group of people, and they feel like they have been disenfranchised over the past several days. How do you speak to those folks and convince them we need your votes? You got to stay involved.
I think that Donald Trump has shown over the course of his 4 years of being president, with the appointments he's made to the judiciary, with doing all the things that he can do as president to promote, you know, certain very specific conservative social values, that he's willing to do this. But this is my problem, is that you don't have to forsake one set of values to include another. Conservatism is big enough and broad enough to encompass all of the people in this tent. It doesn't matter if you're a social conservative or you're socially tolerant, if you're a neocon, if you're, you know, a Rand Paul libertarian. Our tent is big enough, and it's got to be in a place you just can't continue to exclude people. So I hope that, you know, people who feel like that their voices were excluded from this process, or not even that, that their viewpoints are no now longer so narrowly defined, the broadening out of our invitation to all Americans to be part of our modern Republican Party is going to strengthen us all. And including more people doesn't mean that it cheapens these folks' commitments to their faith and their families. It's not mutually exclusive. This is something we can do all together. It doesn't cheapen their marriages, their families, or their commitment to their pro-life causes.
I'm curious to get your thoughts on Ben Shapiro. Yesterday, he was up on Capitol Hill testifying about something completely different. He was supposed to be testifying about these advertising agencies targeting conservatives. Eric Swalwell wanted to talk about whether or not homosexuality is a sin, which led to this question. And I found his answer interesting. I want to get your take on it. Ben Shapiro says, I'm in favor. He's talking about traditional marriage or same-sex marriage. He says, I'm in favor of traditional marriage between a man and a woman. I'm perfectly fine with anyone having any sort of voluntary sexual arrangement they seek. That's a different thing from whether the government should attach benefits to that personal relationship. Is that a common belief that you're hearing among conservatives, or is Shapiro an outlier?
I mean, I think that we're at a place where people can define, you know, their marriage as being, you know, something that's, you know, religiously acceptable. I mean, there are a number of Christian denominations that do recognize and affirm same-sex marriages. So this is something that is left up to the individual and the individual denomination. But the issue is here, and this is the way it is in America, and this is why it's different in France, it's different in Australia and some of these other countries. We created the institution of, you know, marriage as it pertains to rights, benefits, and privileges in this country. They're inextricably linked, and it's not that way in other countries. And this is the problem, is that if you're going to provide civil contextual rights and benefits based on a exclusive religious affiliation, you've got to untangle that. So I don't really care what Ben Shapiro's personal opinion is on gay marriage or, you know, traditional marriage versus, you know, same-sex marriages, because it doesn't affect me. But I think Ben Shapiro and I would agree, and many others, and this is where we create our bond in the conservative movement, is that people who want to engage in a same-sex relationship should have the same rights, benefits, privileges, and consequences as people who are in an opposite sex marriage. And again, that comes down to personal responsibility and individual freedom. So I think that there's not as much here. You know, the Democrats just want to play these games of gotcha and make conservatives look extreme. Like I said, Ben Shapiro's opinion or any other people's opinion on, you know, gay relationships, it doesn't really matter, because we have the rule of law backing us up that, you know, all people are created equal and that our civil society relationships are going to have the same weight as any others that are gender opposite. So, you know, again, it's Democrats playing games instead of leading. So,
Charles, I don't get this because you and I share the same belief system on the transgenderism. And look, it's America. It's a free country. What you want to do, how you want to live your life, that's between you and your maker. Keep it out of the kids, the schools, and all that stuff. Yet I get called the straight anti-gay, homophobic bigot, you know, sorry, so-and-so, glad everybody tries to destroy me and shut me down. Do they come after you, or is this just something that's happening to yours truly?
Well, you know, we joke about it in our community in Log Cabin that it's so much easier actually to be gay in the Republican Party than it is to be a Republican in the LGBT community, because the level of intolerance, the far left social Marxists have co-opted so much of, you know, the LGBT movement and, you know, a lot of other different movements, you know, women's rights, you know, different ethnic minority groups. You know, the left has catered to this and used this culture of victimhood. And I think that at least in our community in Log Cabin and as gay conservatives, like we rejected that in 2016, really at the behest of Donald Trump. We're not going to continue to be victims. And all Democrats have to trade on is victimhood. If you're black, if you're a woman, if you're a Latino, if you're a fill in the blank. And we stand up and summarily reject that. So the left is going to call you names because that's all they have. Calling people an ist, a racist, you know, homophobe, bigot, all of these things. They just throw these things out there. You know, I get them. You get them. It's harder for them to label me a homophobe because I'm gay. But, you know, the derision that they see gay conservatives when, you know, we just want to be like everybody else. And, you know, to your point about even on the transgender side, you know, Caitlyn Jenner is an amazing human being and she's done so much in her life. you know, as an athlete and a spokesperson and a motivational speaker, you know, she'll be the first person to say, like, I'm a biological man. I have an advantage. I shouldn't be competing against women. And, you know, 18, you know, that's the dividing marker in this country. You know, if you can't get a tattoo or get your ears pierced without parental consent under 18, you shouldn't be able to make permanent life-changing decisions on your own. So, like, again, this is just so common sense. And there are commonsensical, moderate voices in the conservative movement here that are LGBT, you know, gays, lesbians, bisexuals, and trans people. But the media continues to want to put the focus on the extreme left and on the extreme right, where I really believe 80% of this country is just kind of in this middle zone of, you know, they support LGBT equality, but there's some guardrails around it too, just like I said.
All right, tell me about these fundraisers. Melania Trump, she's hosted, what, at least a couple of fundraisers I know of. How did that relationship happen between you guys, the Log Cabin Republicans, and Melania?
Well, I mean, there should be no surprise that, you know, Mrs. Trump she is her own woman. Even before she met Donald Trump, she was a, you know, worldwide superstar. She was a model. She was a businesswoman. And that's one of the things we love about her, is the fact that she's defined by more than just who she's married to. But obviously having the honor of being the first lady is something that is, you know, a career defining move. Obviously, you know, having been in fashion in New York and cosmopolitan places, she has, I'm sure she has a number of gay friends, and people from our community. So, you know, I think that she saw the work that we were trying to do, especially as it came around building unity and trying to, you know, take our conservative values to the LGBT community. And she wanted to give voice and lift that, because it's a place where, again, you know, it's easy to be conservative in some of these, you know, places like, you know, in the South, like in Tennessee, in Texas, in, you know, Louisiana, or these days even in places like Florida. But when you're in New York City, if you're in Manhattan, if you're in West Hollywood, if you're in the Castro, you know, you got to be tough. And Melania is a tough woman. And I think that us going out into these non-traditional places to spread the word about conservatism and why this is really best for the individual and it's the best for the country, there was a kindred spirit there. So we're really happy. She's been extraordinarily supportive of us. She, this is actually now the fourth engagement that she's had with us.
Oh, wow.
We were her first public speech since leaving the White House when we honored her in 2021, at our annual gala with the Spirit of Lincoln Award. This year alone, this is the second, fundraising event that she's, you know, been our guest of honor. This one most recently, the first part of the event was actually in their private residence in Trump Tower. So actually it was in Donald Trump's house in New York, which was amazing. And then, you know, after that, we had a larger reception in, you know, farther up in Manhattan on the Upper East Side. But it was just such an incredible place to bring together straight allies. You know, most of our money comes from straight allies because they see the work that we do, and it's about going out and communicating these conservative values to the LGBT community and letting them know that you can vote for Republicans.
Yeah, real quick here, we're running up against the clock here. I'm just curious, from 2016 to where we are now in 2024, how would you say the growth of the Log Cabin Republicans has been?
Because of the leadership of Donald Trump and because of the work that we've been able to do, we have doubled the LGBT vote for Donald Trump from 2016 to 2020. That was from 14% to 28%. And then this year, we're shooting all the way to get 50% of the gay vote to vote for Donald Trump. And our polling and our research shows that that is actually now possible. All and we right. can do that with that new RNC platform. And with the leadership of Donald Trump, we can do that.
All right, Charles, got to leave it there. Appreciate you coming on the program. I know we disagree on a lot of stuff, but it's all hands on deck to save the Republic, and we need everybody focused on what the issues are coming up in the fall. So really appreciate you coming on the program. Charles Moran, the Log Cabin Republicans chairman. Thanks, Charles.
Thank you.
All right, there you go, folks. And again, there's a lot of stuff I agree with. There's a lot of stuff I disagree with about Charles, but the reality of it is this, and a lot of people are going to have to come to terms with this in their heads over the next couple of months. There are issues in the big tent of the Republican Party, and you're not going to agree with everybody on everything, but you can't let that keep you at home on Election Day at all. We have a republic to save, and it is going to take all of us working together to get that done. That being said, we also have to understand that there have been longstanding planks in that party platform. And for the Republican leadership to go in and do what they did, that is problematic. You can't be treating the base of the party like that. And if nothing else, Tony Perkins and many other evangelical conservatives were disrespected by Republican leadership in Milwaukee. That's not right. You can't just shove aside. And let me say this. Melania Trump hosting four fundraisers. They haven't been hosting any fundraisers for religious liberty organizations. All right. So the reality of it is this. If you're going to say evangelicals, we don't want you in the party anymore, then you better have a whole heck of a lot of people that are going to vote Republican or you're not going to win any races. Ronald Reagan understood this. And that's why he was always embracing the moral majority. Reagan realized without those votes, without Jerry Falwell Sr., without Pat Robertson, he would not have won that presidential election the first go around. Just something to think about. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, folks. Wow, what a busy day. This is going to be insane. 6:30 tonight. Looking forward to providing. We're going to be doing live analysis over on the website, so go hang out with us at 6:30. 5 o'clock Eastern, I'll be giving a preview of the speech. That's going to happen on my Newsmax show. A lot of people get upset. I can't watch Newsmax. I got to pay for it. No, you don't. All you have to do is go to Newsmax 2's live YouTube feed, and you'll be able to watch the show. It's free of charge. So head over there. You can also watch them on Facebook Live as well. Just a reminder, folks, and I got an angry email from one of the newsletter people. I'm tired of you promoting your book. Well, how else am I going to promote the book? So we got a book to sell, people. So here's the deal. If you get over to the website and buy a copy of the book and get us on the New York Times bestseller list, we won't have to talk about it anymore. But we got to move those books, and you can get yourself a copy of one. We're getting some really great reviews. And if you want to read the reviews before you buy the book, head over to Amazon. I think we have 50 or 60 reviews, and every single one of them is just, it's a lot of fun. Just read the reviews. Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? That's the name of the book. Get it wherever you buy your books. I'll sign a copy for you on the website. All right, again, 5 o'clock Eastern, Newsmax 2. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll see you later on tonight, folks. Be good, America.